afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio, where we celebrate your life, your business, your way. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and we are broadcasting right here with a great marketing expert today. We are looking to bring you, as we always do, the information that you need as a small business owner to tackle all the many jobs that you have to tackle on an efficient, cost-effective basis, and today's guest is an expert at helping us do that. Her name is Susan F. Benjamin. She is the author of Instant Marketing for Almost Free, and Susan has been helping small businesses and other organizations market their products and services since 1989. She has established, trained, and researched marketing strategies for organizations large and small, and her book packages all of this in a great way, and I am so excited to have her as the guest on today's show. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Susan.
Well, thank you so much for having me here. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to have you, and this book is just chock full of great information, and we're going to get into the details of that as much as we can in the short time we have together. But first, Susan, I'd like to ask you if you could give our listeners a little bit of an idea of your journey to entrepreneurship. Tell us a little bit how you transitioned from, I guess, traditional work or doing something else to having your own business.
Well, it's a really interesting and very good question. I started out a long time ago wanting to write and wanting to be a writer. And if you know anything about that world, it doesn't pay a whole lot at the very beginning. So I started teaching college, and I did that, but I wanted something with more energy and a more dynamic landscape. And I just got the idea, you know what, I can do this myself. I can go out there, and I can offer what I know I do a really good job at to other people, and I know they're going to need it. And I just started basically marketing myself and getting my feet on the ground with it by talking to people, which is a really important and, I think, really typical way of launching businesses, is just to network in a very, almost like a casual way, just contacting people who would want my service.
Now, that's interesting. I call it sometimes sort of organic business growth. It's not something that's so, like, overly intentional. It just kind of seems natural. It sounds like that was the case with you.
Well, you know, I like that a lot, organic business growth, because that's exactly what it is. And I think that for me that was the case, and I have to say that throughout my career, which now it's been since 1987, I found that my evolution as a small business owner, as an entrepreneur, never stops, and I get into more and more interesting places with it. And again, it's through that kind of organic, natural kind of flow that brings me to the next new, wonderful enterprise.
Yeah, and even just that alone, Susan, I think is probably encouraging for many small business owners, particularly women who, as you mentioned earlier, you had a talent, you had something that you were good at, but some people, while they have that, they're just not sure what to do with it next, and they sort of try and, I guess, be very, very specific and active about very, very specific areas and forget about how the natural flow of things can also be a benefit as well.
Well, I think that that's true, and I think that the world, the universe that's available to women entrepreneurs in particular is a really exciting and wonderful one, and now is the right time to be doing it, and I have to underscore the right time. As you probably have mentioned to your listeners, 40%, and I've heard even higher numbers than that, of new business owners are women, and more than half of all businesses are owned by women. And women have a unique marketing business style, which is one of, as I'm sure that every listener knows just instinctively, it's about collaboration. It's about coordinating with other people. Networking in the male world is about seeking out people who do what you do and making those business connections. But for us women, it really is almost like a holistic sense of finding people who are interested in the same thing and swapping ideas and helping each other grow. And, may I add, having a really fabulous time while they do it.
Yeah, that's what's so great about it, too, is that it's not even something that you plan and take a list of questions you're going to ask. You just kind of show up and participate in the conversation.
That's it, exactly. And that leads to, I think, a really interesting marketing tip, if you will, which is that one really great way of marketing is literally getting to know the people who live and work around your business, because they're there. And they will just naturally spread the word, and they'll just naturally kind of tap into what it is that you have to offer and use it themselves and offer it to other people, particularly if you're marketing in a sort of confined area, let's say like a town, for example, or a website community.
Right, yeah, and you can expand on that. Well, we're definitely going to talk about that. Our show theme today, of course, is Platinum Marketing on a Bronze Budget, and you are the queen of that from the tips and articles and features and things in your book.
Thank you.
Let's get started, Susan, if we could, by defining for listeners who may not be exactly sure what it is, what is marketing and how does it differ from other methods of growing your business?
I'll tell you what marketing is. In its essence, at the very essence, marketing consists of two things. Number one is telling people about what you do. And it's that simple. Here is what I do. Number one. Number two is letting people know, in all honesty and sincerity, how it is what you do will benefit them, how it is that what you offer is unique to you and what it gives to them. And it really is, in essence, it's that simple.
Well, that really does boil it down. That brings me to another question related to that, which is, is it not true, then, that for a small business owner, everything you do, mostly, or so many of the things you do, they are marketing?
Even
if it's not categorized that way in a formalized sense.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me give you a quick little example for myself. As you know, I have this book out, and I have several others, which has taken me on a book tour of bookstores where I go and sign books. So here I am on the airplane. And I was anxious about getting there on time because, you know, I had this book signing was going to start, and I told the flight attendant, how long is it going to take? I'm really scared. Well, I saw the flight attendant later, and he asked me how the book signing went, and I told him. And then I handed him one of my bookmarks, my signature bookmarks with a little tab and my website on it, and he was so happy. He said, thank you, I really appreciate this. And I said, well, here, take a few more. So I saw him giving them to his fellow flight attendants. Well, guess what? That's marketing, because they can use the bookmark. It has an interesting tip, which you get a real kick out of. I wrote down the names of my books on the back, and he's going to be able to hold on to that bookmark because guess what? He was sitting there doing a crossword puzzle book. Now he'll use it for that. What was that? It was a little teeny conversation on an airplane.
Right, and it's also a great way, what you're describing. You told someone about what you did. You made it clear how it benefited them. But for people who may not be comfortable doing that verbally, it was an easy way to do it without actually talking about yourself.
Well, I think that's true. And I would imagine that many of your listeners, and I'm the same way. I don't really like talking about myself. The details of my life, I want to keep private. And, you know, I don't like bragging about myself. And I would say that most people don't. But you have to remember this. The product that you offer, or in some cases the service too, the product that you offer isn't you. It isn't boasting about you. It's looking at what's really there. So say you're creating a beautiful soap of some sort. And you know that you use the best ingredients and that it's just somehow, it's really right, and you know the reasons why. You're not bragging. You're telling them about what's so good about it because you know that it's real and you know that it's there. And objectively speaking, it's the truth.
Right. And what you're describing, a lot of people do have trouble with separating that because they are so close to their business. They feel like they are their business. Their business may be, you know, the way they support themselves. And so they do have a little trouble drawing that separation. And so I thank you for mentioning that because a lot of people need to hear that, I think.
Right. Can I give them a little exercise? Because I know that we're going to get on to branding, which is going to be even harder and is going to be really critical. What you can do as an exercise is to sit down and put two columns down. In one column, write down all the attributes of what it is that you offer. So maybe what you offer smells good, or it's very smooth, or it's all vegetable oil or whatever the case may be. Write mm-hmm. down all those wonderful attributes. Now, mm-hmm. those are subjective attributes, but you know what? They're objective, too. There are things about them which you can prove factually and so on. In the next column, write down why people will like it. Okay, what is so good about it? How does it benefit other people? And once you combine those two columns, you have a really good statement about what it is that your product offers people. And you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to feel that you're somehow concocting something or bragging. You just use what you know is true, and you have it all written down, and you just keep those words in your mind, and they'll be there. And there you go. That's your marketing campaign.
Right.
Or at
right.
least that's the communications part of your marketing campaign. It's not your old campaign.
Yeah. Well, it is a really good exercise to help people kind of get to that. Susan, is advertising a form of marketing?
Advertising is definitely a form of marketing. When you're thinking about marketing, think about it this way. Every single thing that you do to spread the word about your business is marketing, which means, for example, that a press release to your local paper, and don't shy away from this. These are real easy to do, and you can get what they call pickup, right? Get articles about you quite easily. A press release is marketing. A sign in front of your shop, if you have one, is marketing, as mm-hmm. well as an article about what you do. All that's marketing. Websites are marketing. Advertising is marketing. As I say in the book, that advertising has some problems. Can have some problems to it that you need to solve, but it is definitely marketing.
Well, let's talk about some of those, just a few of those, as you meant, you call them problems with advertising.
Sure.
Can you share a little bit about what they may be and how marketing in other genres does not have those problems?
Well, I'm not going to say the other ones don't. They may not have those problems. They have other problems. And again, problems in an exciting way and in a way that, you know, it's a really challenging, wonderful way. And by the way, problems that you can overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing about advertising. When you advertise, people know it's an advertisement. So how are you going to get them to believe what you're saying if it's an ad? And so the way that you would do that then is to create some kind of proof point within your ad. So if you say, for example, that what you have is pure, then you would say, because it's 100% whatever, you know, whatever it is that makes it pure. Or you can have what's known as testimonials, where you have people who love your product speak about it, so that you're no longer saying how great it is. Of course, why
right.
should they believe you? But you have other people say it, oh, yeah, of course they should believe them. But I want to add one more thing, which is that when you are selling something or marketing, you know, whatever word you want to use, but when you're trying to get people to come to it, you have to follow this little slogan, okay? It's called love at fifth sight, all right? Not first sight, fifth sight. And what that means is that you need to support what it is that you're doing or reinforce what you're doing five times. So say your listeners will go to a networking meeting with a number of people there. You can't show up once and expect people to remember your product. You have to go a few times. And, oh, by the way, if you give them a really snappy little brochure, but a real short one, a real good one, okay, good.
Right.
Now you're really reinforcing. What if you have samples? Now they're actually going to be smelling it or feeling it or, depending on the sample, tasting it even, and you're activating more of their senses. If you just give them that sample, may not work. If
right.
you just meet them, may not work. If you just advertise, won't work. If you do
right.
them all together,
you got to do them all.
What? Now you've got that marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you notice what I'm saying? None
yeah.
of these are expensive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have
free.
You have some synergies there. You have a sort of a strategy, I guess, for lack of a better word. You've picked three or four things that you do over and over again, and that's your marketing campaign, I guess.
Right. Now, in the book, I do have templates for marketing campaigns and for strategies and so on, but I want to mention that you can go for what feels naturally best to you as well. So, for example, if you are in this networking group and you hear that they have a booklet out and they're looking for advertisers, and you know that those advertisements are going to reach the people you need, go ahead, put it in there. And then you hear that there's going to be some kind of a trade show and it's not very expensive and you can have a booth. Okay, perfect. So then you go there. So these opportunities to market yourself are always going to come your way. The trick is to keep your eyes open for them. Just remember, there are opportunities. There are so many opportunities, you probably couldn't take them all.
Right, right. And that's a good thing, right? That's probably one of the best things about, as you said at the top of the show, this is the right time for women to grow their businesses. We're going to take our first break and come back and talk a little bit more about that, Susan. We want to know about why it's the right time and how we can capitalize on it before that time goes by. This is the Indie Business Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today with Susan F. Benjamin, author of Instant Marketing for Almost Free, Effective Low-Cost Results in Weeks, Days, or Hours. I love that because it looks like there's a variety of different things, Susan, for people who have different amounts of time available. So that makes it a good option. Before we took our break, we were talking about why this is the right time for women in business. Can you expand upon that, Susan? Why is that, and how do we take advantage of it while the time is right?
Sure. Well, there are a number of reasons why, but I think one of the reasons is that we now have role models and images of women who have been out in the world who have made vast success. Everybody from Martha Stewart to some professional tennis players, we were really looking at, you know what, these are women, they have made it in their lives, they have raised kids at the same time, they started with very little money, these are not these sort of, you know, high investment kinds of people. These are people who have lived complete lives, wonderful lives, and we now have these role models that we can look at to point the way. Really important. A second reason, which is a reason personally I really love, is that guess what? 80% of the buying decisions are made by women. What's happening in the PR and advertising and marketing world, and I know this because I, in my other life, I'm also a consultant, so I get the inside scoop. These largely male-run organizations are really straining to figure out the best way to market to women. And they're having a really tough time at it. Yeah, it's kind of fun to watch because guess what? We already know we're the women. We get the messages. So right. All we have to do is say, now what works for me is going to work for all these other people because we're all women. So it's great. Mm-hmm. And there are other things, too, that women are home a lot, as you know, and have a lot of home-owned businesses. And, of course, where are they going to get the information? They're going to get it from the web. They're going to
Do you think that part of that is the women being home more is kind of a function of our economy and the way traditional jobs work these days? They're, you know, you can spend, you know, 1, 2, maybe even sometimes 3 hours in rush hour traffic going back and forth to work. If you have small children, you're stuffing fast food down their throats all the time. Of course, everybody's situation is different, but do you think that sort of stressful model that, you know, worked maybe 20 or 25 years ago when, you know, I'm a woman, I can fry the bacon and everything.
Hear me roar, you mean?
And now people are sort of looking going, you know, maybe that kind of lifestyle, at least for now, is not all it was cracked up to be.
I think there are a lot of reasons for it, and I think they all speak highly, highly, highly of women's role in the marketplace and in the world. And one of them is that, in fact, when women came into the workplace in a really strong, I don't want to say forceful, but it really was forceful, energetic way, what they said is, you know what? My kid needs good child raising, and I have to provide it. We're going to get a good daycare center in this building so I can go downstairs and have lunch with my kid. And they started saying, you know what? I don't want to be in the middle of the city all week when my kids are home. I want to work out of my house and have time for them, too. So there have been all of these wonderful changes that have happened because women coming in have brought their values, and I do think these are distinct values from a lot of the male values, into the workplace and have enabled women to kind of do both things at once that are of great value and have been able to do them well. There's another factor here, too, which we really need to look at, and I think which is important to any discussion even of using the web or any kind of marketing, which is that there are a lot more single mothers out there today than there ever were before, and a lot of women really have to rely on themselves to do it all. And having a home base has really helped that a lot because they're available for the kids, but they're still able to do whatever they need to do from their studies or their offices.
Right. And, you know, I read a statistic on the Internet not too long ago about the percentage of women on the Internet after 11 or 12 o'clock at night. I thought that was so interesting because it's when so many women actually have an opportunity to do that because everyone else is asleep and maybe the, you know, dinner for the next day is thawing and the clothes are washed. And
time.
To sit down and either do your business or do research for whatever it is you have to do. So in light of that, how do you think the Internet plays into this being like a really great time for us in business?
Well, I think the Internet is partly because of the idea. There are a number of reasons why the Internet is so fabulous. One of them is that it's 24/7. I mean, you don't want to say that you can purchase our product 24/7 on the Internet, which is what a lot of people say, because we know that. But it's not a great sales tactic, but it's a great sales tool. Because it's always available. You can go on, you can get in there, you can change your website, you can adapt it, you can make sales, you can do everything at a time that's convenient for you. And you know, I'm the same way. I've got my kid in bed, my husband is asleep, everything's settled, and I go on the web, and it's 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I'm just beginning my web time. But, you know, that's perfect. That's wonderful. We can get all these other things out of the way. Mm-hmm. And then have the peace and the tranquility to really focus on the web business. So that's wonderful. The second item is that, or the second factor, is that the web allows you to reach a whole conference full of people in one little, you know, in one little stroke of a key. So it's really useful to reaching a lot of people who may want what you offer.
Right. Now, I picked up on something you just said that was really interesting. You talked about tactics versus tools. And you were saying, I'm going to repeat it back to make sure I understood it, because this is key to a question I want to ask you, Susan, to really tap into that more of that marketing expertise you have over there. You said that the fact that you can buy our products on the Internet 24/7 is a great tool, but it's not necessarily a good tactic in terms of marketing. Here's my question. I want to kind of translate this into someone who does, as you mentioned earlier, sell, you know, wonderful, naturally made soaps and things of that nature. A lot of people may also be selling, quote-unquote, natural cosmetics. So it's what kind of the analogy of what you just said is that it's great to have products made with natural ingredients as a good tool, but not necessarily a good tactic in terms of marketing them because so many other people are using that same marketing language. Is that question coming through clear?
Well, I think what you're saying is you don't want to publicize that somebody can buy your product 24/7 on the web.
Yeah, or use valuable marketing space or marketing time to describe your product in a way that everyone else is also describing theirs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, that's exactly what you don't want to do. You do not want to talk about your product in anybody else's terms, ever. It's so important that you own your product. Now, if you want to talk about soaps just for a second in terms of marketing on the web, if you're selling soap and you're making soap, you have an enormous advantage in terms of marketing, and I'll tell you why. I don't make soaps. I buy soaps. I'm an avid soap buyer because mm-hmm. I can smell it. I take it in the bathtub. I'm a gardener, so I get the soap with a little, the little scrubby things in it.
Right.
I pay top dollar for my soap because I love it, and I love what it does to me at the end of a really long day. In your marketing on the web, look, your web is not just a place to talk about what you do. It is a place to activate the senses of your target buyer. Okay, and I hate to put it in such terms as that, but it really is what it is. Good marketing taps into a lot of the senses. It's going to tap into the smell. It'll tap into the taste. It'll tap into the sound and the feel. Well, you've got a lot of that covered. If you have soap, let's pretend, that has orange essence, okay? They're not going to eat the soap, but you're going to tap into the taste of orange and the smell of orange and the feeling of warm soap in a bathtub, say, or a shower. So there's so much available to you in terms of positioning that and activating a lot of senses. It's an enormous advantage in something like the web where other people are saying, and you can purchase our products 24/7, customer satisfaction guaranteed. See what I mean?
Right. So what else is new, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's really good. So do people have to hire somebody to generate these fantastic-sounding product descriptions, or how do you... you know, get from point A to point B on, as your book says, almost free.
Almost free, right. And by the way, you can hire people. But mm-hmm. if you're going to, even there, you're taking a great risk. You really have to be careful who you're hiring. And you always, in the end, have to take an enormous amount of responsibility for the outcome because no one is more of an expert in the catchphrases and the buzzwords and the so-called brand, the big ferocious word out there, than you are. So here, let me give you some tips, all right, your listeners, some really good tips about ways to articulate that message that really do work. And with this little caveat, you have to be careful to get it right. But the more in touch you are with who you are and what the benefit is of what you bring, the better your message will be. The worst messages talk about, and now for that 100% satisfaction feeling that you can get, we aim to meet all of your soap needs. You know, just stay away from that and go more into yourself. So here's some tips, okay? This is going to sound strange, but number one, go look at ads that you love and think about what it is that you love about them. What is working there? You tend to write what you read. You tend to visualize what you see. And in this case, you really, really are going to be able to create good copy that you have seen, or at least not the same words or anything, but the strategies that really work for you. Was it lively? Was it visceral? How was it? Another thing that I think is really important to do, and it's going to sound silly, but is to take a little bit of time and read a good basic writing kind of a book, because when you're using the web, you've got to get your message out there in a couple words only and have your message really match your visuals quite well. So just be sure that when you're writing, you're getting rid of any of those extra words. You really don't have time for even one small word that isn't working to get your message out there. So go get a book and read it and make sure that it's not a heavy rule-based book, but a good book, and use that to really refine your copy. The next thing is get feedback from some people. And if you're hiring somebody to do the writing for you, get feedback on their writing. I mean, it's really important to know, does this work or doesn't it? The big, expensive companies, and you don't have to do this, don't do this, but they do hire, they have big focus groups, and they ask people what they think, and they get all this feedback, and it's all very official and expensive. You can do it in a way that is free, or if you want, almost free, you can give them a little gift. But just get some people together and say, what do you think of this ad copy? Does this really make you feel, you know, a certain way? And then you take the copy, and then you're going to put it on your web. So be sure to get some feedback that really helps.
So you can have your own little mini focus group.
I think that you can, and I think that, again, we do this all the time. And women do this all the time more naturally than men do. We love to collaborate. We love to get consensus. We love to get together in book groups and to get together in mother groups and all these different kind of groups, right? I mean, we do this naturally. So what you do is you get a few people together who you know and like, or you ask maybe your friends to maybe get other friends of theirs' opinion on, you know, what do you think of this ad? Does it work or doesn't it? It's no different from going up, or at least for me, I have this kind of wild curly hair. So, you know, my saying to somebody, do you like this haircut? You know, and all my girlfriends will go, are you kidding me? It looks horrible. We'll get another cut. Or, oh, yeah, this looks really great. But I always trust their opinion. And guess what? I'm having my own teeny little focus group.
Right. That's right. And the great thing about you just described the first thing you said was be careful to get it right. It's pretty cool that on the Internet, for people who are relying on the Internet largely for sales, if you don't get it right the first time, it's pretty quick to change it.
Well, if you don't get it right, it is quick to change it. I think another aspect of the Internet, there was a study that came out recently. I don't know if you have heard about it, but if you have, forgive me, but I think it's very important, which shows that when people go on a website, they make up their minds what they think about that website in 1/50th of a second. It's a Canadian research group did it. That's 1/50th, 5-0. It's really that fast, so that the initial impression, in essence, is the only impression that you get. So you want to make sure that it really is clean and as specific to who you are and what you're offering as you possibly can get it to be.
That's a really startling statistic. We're going to come back and talk with Susan F. Benjamin, author of Instant Marketing for Almost Free, after our next break. Do join us at 800-773-0355 if you have a question or comment about Susan, about how best to market your business, what sorts of challenges are you facing in terms of marketing your business. 800-773-0355. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Everyone, welcome back to the final segment of Indie Business Radio. Today we are here with Susan F. Benjamin, author of Instant Marketing for Almost Free. I want you to know that today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale. Get natural, unscented cosmetics like lotions, creams, and body butters and essential oils to customize them just for you and just in time for Valentine's Day. They've got some great chocolate-scented deals, so check them out at EssentialWholesale.com. Susan, before we took our last break, we were talking about the Internet, and you said a study showed that you have 1/50th of a second to grab a site visitor's attention, or it's pretty much all over for you.
That's right. And not only is it all over for that moment, but it's all over for the rest of your site because of the halo effect. So if they have a positive or negative impression of that site, as they go from page to page, they consider it in that light, and their minds are not easily changed. I mean, in some ways, it gets back to the idea of first impressions or lasting impressions that we heard long ago, only in this case, the first impression is pretty fast.
So this means that you have to have the things that are most important, most salient about your business somehow displayed on the homepage in an easy-to-understand format.
Let's put it this way. When you first react to any kind of communication, you are getting a visceral response. You're getting some kind of real feeling, kind of emotional, physical kind of, you know, whole-body response. So if you have your website out there and it's really kind of drab, and you have a lot of words loaded into the home page, what they're going to feel is, boring. And even though what you're saying may be really interesting, important information, mm-hmm. it's just that they're going to feel so bored by it that they really don't even read it. If what you give them is something that's exciting, right, and really tantalizing and really, like, quick, a few quick words and sharp images, now they feel excited. Maybe what you want them to feel is tranquil, a really positive, wonderful kind of tranquil. So if you can position the words and the color schemes and so on for tranquility, now you're also going to be able to just get that right response, depending, again, on what's there. Who are you? What is so good about what you're selling? So you want to bring the best of it and make it really clear. And be sure that what you're targeting is some kind of a real, let's say, for lack of a better word, a whole body response, not just in their minds that they know how good you are, but that they can really understand it in many different ways.
Right. It sounds like it's even more important to accomplish that goal to have your business strategy kind of very focused as well, because if it's not, how can you possibly decide what are the most important things to feature?
Yes.
To highlight.
Exactly, but the business strategy should be using what I call marketing from within. And the marketing from within really is saying, not, how does everybody else do it? How can I be different? Or, what do I think the world really needs right now? Although some people did it. There was I read a book by David Ogilvy, who was in advertising and is one of the big advertising guys. And he said, I could have positioned Dove as a soap for working men. He said something like that. But instead I decided to position it as a soap for women with beautiful hands.
Okay. Beautiful hands?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. In other words, his point of view was, you can position anything you want any way you want. It doesn't really matter. What I'm saying is that's the traditional way to do it. He was successful because his client had millions and millions of dollars to make mistakes and go back and forth. Yes, you know? But the reality is, he could have done a lot better if he simply looked at the product and said, who would really benefit this? Who would really want to use it? But that's not the way that many of these advertisers do it. So you can get the same result by looking at what you have to offer and saying sincerely, what is the best thing about this? Look, you may have a kitchen business in the Midwest. Well, guess what? That may be the selling point, that it's a wholesome kind of, take all the good, solid work ethic values of the Midwest and apply it to your product. And that, it's for people who really want quality and want whatever, because you're based in the Midwest. Well, guess what? That works, and it's true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It may be that you offer something that is natural, which is fine. A lot of people do. What is unique to how natural your product is. What is it that you personally put into it? And by the way, don't be modest. It's okay. If it's real, it's real. That's all.
Right. If you don't toot your own horn, who else will?
Exactly. But know for sure. Know for sure that this really is it. And you'll do just fine.
Now, your book describes something called the Instant Marketing Supply Kit. And this is a list, it looks like chapter by chapter. It's a list of, you know, a kit that every business have on hand. And I know we don't have time to get into all of them, but if a small business, let's just say someone who is just launching within the last 6 or 8 months and they're looking to step up their marketing a little bit and they can pick 3 or 4 things to put in their kit. And I know, again, this will vary based on certain variables for business to business. But in general terms, what are the top 3 or 4 that most businesses can benefit from in this kit?
Okay, that's a fabulous question, and I want to preface it by saying free, a lot of these are free, okay? So what can they benefit from? You can benefit from having giveaways, like little calendars or things that you give to people that talk about your product and keep it right in front of their noses all the time. If you have a giveaway, and by the way, anything else, if you want to have a brochure that lists your products, have something in it that has what I call the usability factor. Make sure that anything that you use in your marketing is something that will provide a direct and long-lasting benefit to whoever gets it. So, for example, you may want a beautiful picture on one of your brochures so that they're going to want to put the picture up on their refrigerator, whatever. Okay, so giveaways are one. I said brochures. Let me talk about it quickly. Everybody loves brochures. More people love to produce them than people actually read them. If you want a brochure, it's fine because people expect them in certain venues. If you go online and you order something, you normally anticipate some kind of a little brochure that will go with it. Use the brochures, but you know what? Have something on the brochure that people are going to read for their own benefit as well as talking about yourself. And it should deliberately, it should connect immediately to whatever it is you're selling. So if your soap has a certain herb that you use, maybe you want to have a little herb guide on the back of the brochure that will point them to the advantages of the herb or the history of the herb or whatever it may happen to be. Mm-hmm. Another one, much, much underestimated, is the press release. Write a little press release. I think that the book has a format for that, and then trust me, get it to your local papers. These are the people who are going to buy it. Let the local paper write an article on it and then put it on your web. And then what you're starting to do on your web is build a fabulous press room. And, by the way, you'll get local people buying, too. But you'll give yourself a real sense of professionalism, and anybody is going to be willing to trust that. So the press release is going to serve a whole number of purposes, and as I said, one is for local business, but the other is to start to get a press room up on your website and get really good quotes and stuff from that. So those are a few, yeah.
Right. Now, let's talk for a second about newsletters. I want to read from your book. If you're just starting a marketing campaign, put newsletters at the bottom. Let's talk about that. and again, no, I didn't read the whole thing. There's you list some reasons there, and I wanted to ask you if you would share some of those. And then, of course, you know, all the details are in the book, but you hear so much about the effectiveness of newsletters for online businesses, online newsletters for online businesses. What do you think about that, and why would that be at the bottom of the list?
I think the problem with newsletters is that most newsletters are about the organization that who's producing them, right? So if it's a, you know, one- or two-person shop, it's going to be about the one- or two-person shop. And you know what? I'm not really that interested in hearing about somebody else's business. It just doesn't matter to me. If you're talking about small businesses especially, you don't have an employee base who needs to learn about what's going on to incentivize them and excite them and all the rest. So what the problem is, how are people going to use them? If you want to have an online newsletter, here's what you do. Focus on what people want to know because it improves their lives and it's interesting for interest's sake, and then weave in little bits about what you do. But, I mean, just weave them in. Make sure that your name is there all the time, and obviously they'll be online so they'll know it, but make sure that it's visible. But you don't have to just talk about yourself. You could talk about, here are some interesting new offerings that we have. Or if you want to make say, a little club and say, if you're part of our club, then you can get these brand new lotions or whatever it may be. There are a lot of ways to strategize. But you've got to focus on them and not on you and what's new with you, because they don't know you.
So
they don't care, you know.
What's about you should sort of be like the extra stuff that's added. Let me ask you a question about maybe just an example of someone that I know who happens to be a member of the Indie Business Network, the Indie Beauty Network, and she has she makes mineral makeup in, you know, different colors and shimmer and opaque and lipstick and all the stuff. And one of the things that she does is send out a newsletter where her products are promoted, but the main issue is to talk about fashion trends in color makeup.
Exactly.
So is that what you mean? So if someone's interested in your herbal soaps, you would talk about, you know, the herb of the month, or, you
exactly.
know, the herb that was written up in the New York Times or something like that, and then kind of try and relate it to your products?
You know what? You don't even have to relate it to your product, just because, I mean, you can, but if you're talking about the different herbs, and then you've mentioned a little bit about, you know, your new soap, or what your new way of creating soap or anything like that, or special offerings, that'll be enough. They know that you sent it. I get some of those newsletters. In my case, I get a newsletter which is for book writers, and it talks about ways to publicize your book. And the guy knows that. The guy who's sending it out, he knows that you're not supposed to just talk about yourself. So what he does is he'll give you a little teeny tidbit of information, and then he'll have a paragraph or two about, oh, in our upcoming seminar and our new books, and you can buy this and that. And it doesn't work, because you get so tired, and his conferences are mind-boggling, because he has so much about, here, buy this for me and that for me. You really need to be discreet, and you really need to make sure that they appreciate what you're giving them for their sake, not just for yours.
I see what you're saying. So you have to walk a line between promoting too much and providing, as you described it, information that enhanced people's lives.
Right. There's an idea. I don't know how much time we have now, but just very quickly, it's an important idea for women to know, which is the idea of reciprocity. Reciprocity is a really nice thing, and it's encoded in our way of living in the world. And that is that if I take care of your kid, you're going to expect and want to take care of mine. And it's a way of balancing things in the universe. So, and it's not underhanded, and it's not I owe you, you owe me. It's how we relate to each other. If you give people really great information that they love and they know it's from you, they're going to be loyal to you and your business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it is, and that's okay. You don't have to push quite so hard. You have to be visible, but you don't have to push quite so hard.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a really excellent point, and it points out, I guess, what you say in the first chapter of newsletters on your book, is that it's far more challenging to actually get a newsletter right than it is to, like, send one out, because it is pretty much anywhere from cheap to really inexpensive or free to send one out.
Right, exactly. And if you send one that isn't great, then that reflects poorly on you, obviously.
Right.
Can I just add one more thing about
Please
the internet
do.
Here? Okay, thank you. One of the ways that women have of living together, living in this world again, is that we love to create consensus and we love to be together. I know I mentioned this already. So what you could do with your website, fabulous ideas, is get women's beauty tips, maybe, right? Or their skincare tips or anything like that, and start posting them on your site so that you can have a little part of your site that's really devoted to what your customers think. Beauty tips from your customers, news updates about soaps and related things on your website, and really create there a nice little community. What you could do for your giveaways, for example, would be to wrap your wonderful soaps and little tips from some of your customers and give attribution to your customers, so that not only do they get, not only does one customer get great tips from another customer, but the customer giving those tips has the satisfaction of really being a part of your business.
Well, That sounds so great. A great note to end our show on today, that creation of community and collaboration that you talked about that we women are naturally so good at. Susan, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. I can't believe we're done, and I can't ask you another question because Kevin's going to cut me off, my show producer there. I want to remind you guys that you can get Susan's book, Instant Marketing, for almost free at her website, Susan F., as in Frank Benjamin. That's SusanFBenjamin.com. Head on over there. You can also email her at Susan@SusanFBenjamin.com. She's got free tips and articles at her website, and information about where she's going to be speaking and training to help you get instant marketing for almost free. We're going to be back next week, of course, with another great show. And until then, I want you guys to get out there and do business your way. This is Indie Business Radio with Donna Maria signing off. I'll see you next week.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.